We have to keep those two alive while we're getting Christie and Doc.
Great. Make it easy. Anything else you want while we're at it?
Unaware that this had been going on, the Memphis people had finished their affirmations of togetherness and were now waiting for the companions to rejoin them. Lemur approached the companions' table once more.
Everything is well, I trust?
It's fine. We just need to finalize the plan of attack.
Lemur spread out a map on the table. It was a beautifully drawn plan of the two villes of Atlantis and Memphis and the land between.
As you can see, the space between us is comprised of woodland, much like what you have already encountered. The dangers here are nightcrawlers. It is unlikely that we will encounter much resistance from them during daylight hours, even though they have of late made sorties during sunlight.
I don't think we can bank on that, Lemur. Odyssey's no fool. He snatched two of my people. He'll know that we'll be coming for them sooner rather than later. His intelligence will have told him what we can do. He'll have people in wait.
Can we skirt them?
You already know that one, Mark. They're more likely to spot us than we are them. We just have to be ready for them.
No doubt. But I fear that even if we should encounter them, they will not be our main problem.
If they aren't, then who or what is?
The maze.
You've mentioned this before. What's so difficult about it? A maze is a maze, and you said that some of your people have escaped through it. So why don't we just take them with us to negotiate it?
If it were only that simple. If it were a fixed maze, then of course anyone who had managed to find their way through it would have no problem on their return. But alas, it is far from that easy.
On seeing the quizzical glances from the companions, Lemur took up an explanation. He knew more about the maze than anyone, for in his previous existence in Atlantis, he had worked on the project. One of the men named Odyssey, several generations before the current leader, had devised the maze as a way of keeping out intruders and keeping in those who sought escape. It was based on something that had come down to them in legend. The Cretan maze of Minos, with the centaur at its heart, had been the inspiration. The walls of the complex puzzle were stone, and instead of one beast at its heart, it had a series of traps that were manned by wild beasts. The hidden beast traps and the labyrinth made escape almost impossible, but Odyssey had another trick up his sleeve. The walls were movable. As he told them this, Lemur indicated the maze area on the map in front of them. It was surrounded by a dotted line, the maze walls delineated only by a series of horizontal and vertical lines that formed a grid.
So you're telling me that we're going into something that we have no idea how to get through?
I wish I could tell you otherwise.
You really don't want to make this easy for us, do you?
If it were easy, we wouldn't need you.
Okay. If that's the way it's got to be, then that's the way it's got to be. Get your sec force together. It's daybreak now, and before too long the sun will have risen enough for good light. We head straight out. Try to catch them before they have a chance to marshal their forces.
When Odyssey had offered them the chance to view the temple, Doc and Christie had no idea that they would be privy to such a treasure trove of pre-Skydark artifacts. Neither did they expect that those items would reflect such a skewed version of pre-Nuke society. The temple room was lit by scented candles, incense, rose, and a sweet blend of herbs and spices that Christie couldn't identify, but that reminded Doc of something from another lifetime, something he had once smelled when in the southern swamps, taken by a colleague in pursuit of voodoo ceremonies. In the dim light, it was possible to see that a stone altar was surrounded by tapestries that depicted the sinking of the old island, and also saucers arriving from outer space. There were old paintings and dusty glass that they could identify on close inspection as being framed movie posters for 1950s, 60s, and 70s movies about the coming of aliens. Earth versus the Flying Saucers, Invasion of the Saucer Men, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind were those whose titles could be easily read. With others, the ravages of time and the elements, despite the reverence in which they were obviously held, had crept beneath the glass and made the print illegible, leaving only the lurid images of men from space and their craft. An old TV and video recorder stood on the altar, powered by a generator that looked as though it had ceased to be supplied with fuel many generations before. A thick layer of dust covered the screen and the carefully arranged pile of tape boxes beside it. They were all movies and documentaries about occult and UFO phenomena. Christie and Doc could tell this from a perusal of the titles and the pictures on the boxes. The stone walls were lined with shelving. On them were hardbacked books still in their dust jackets, crumbling paperbacks whose cheaper paper and bindings had succumbed to time, and bound magazines and journals. Alongside them were stacked box files and folders bulging with papers. A personal computer stood idle to one side.
Can you use the old tech anymore?
Alas, for myself and those who come after me. The tech was powered by that generator there, and I regret to say that the fuel ran out several generations back. Despite the efforts of my men, not many traders come anywhere near Atlantis. That which is our natural defense is also our enemy. At times it frustrates me. I can read what is written in the books and in the files of those who founded our ville, but only with difficulty. The written word is something we do not, on the whole, use. The old ways of the hieroglyph are instituted, even though the history of our people and the ideas that led us to this place were written and compiled by those who use the common words and language. To see old tape of our ancestors and those who supported them, those who recorded the history, would be good.
He swept his hand over the tapes, the TV, and the comp. Doc and Christie exchanged glances. She knew enough of the pre-dark histories, had seen enough of the old cultures, to know that the books were the work of cranks, and the films were made-up stories, not the recordings of true history that Odyssey seemed to believe. Doc, who was now studying the shelves, was frustrated. He had believed that it was possible that Odyssey was housing a wealth of pre-dark tech and power, but an old TV and simple comp with a generator that had been so long without fuel that it would probably fall apart if it ever fired up again? A few pieces of entertainment that were passed off as great and profound legend? And these books? Some were paranoid conspiracy theories about the old U.S. government. Others were paranoid conspiracy theories about the existence of extraterrestrial life. There were books about secret government programs, and there were also books about technology that came from beyond the stars. Books and magazines about so-called UFO sightings stood next to tomes about other strange and anomalous phenomena. These were the nonsense. Delve beneath, and there was something a little more substantial, if it could be called as such. Tomes from the 19th and 20th centuries about the races beneath the earth, nestled next to those from a similar sweep about ancient Greece and Egypt, and about Phoenician and Macedonian society. With these were books about the Golden Dawn and the secret masters of Shambhala. Everything was as Mildred and Doc had worked out. What had seemed to be a society based on possible revelatory theories, corrupted by the passage of time and distortion of those very theories, was now revealed to be nothing more than the wide-eyed and raving paranoia of people deranged by the insanity of late 20th century living, terrified for their future, and a world that seemed on the brink of annihilation.
At least they had been right about that.
Everything had collapsed, but their way hadn't been the answer. Doc still harbored hopes that the old tech he had sought, though, was hidden in Atlantis, may yet exist. Perhaps this generator was starved of fuel because it was being saved for something bigger. Even as the thought flashed through his mind, he knew he was grasping at straws so slight that they weren't even real. He realized that he had been more than hoping. He had been taking as fact that this mythic ville would have the facilities and power to help him fulfill his destiny. Whether that meant the Inuit and the identity of Joseph Jordan, or whether it meant taking these people forward and trying to forge a new way of thinking that would sweep across the land. But he wouldn't find the means to further that ambition here. He realized that this feeble construct was all that was holding him together. The fragmentation that he had been feeling since their arrival in the frozen wastes hadn't gone away. It had now been unified into this new aim. When Doc turned to face Christie and Odyssey, the woman shuddered at the glint in Doc's eye. It was desperate and unhinged, and ran completely contrary to the soft tone of his voice.
My dear sir, you have no idea how interesting this is to me. I see that you have amassed a fine degree of ancient knowledge. I can help you make sense of this, add my store of knowledge to your own. I can help you make sense of Atlantis's place in history, and help you to attain the greatness that your heritage warrants. But first, if this is to happen, you must tell me if there is anything else that you hold beyond this temple. Anything that remains from the old times must be shown to me if I am to help.
Odyssey scanned Doc's face. It was a shrewd survey, and took him some time as he searched Doc's visage for any sign of duplicity. Finally, he nodded, almost to himself.
There are some things. Their meaning and use is long since lost. But this is partly why I wanted you both here. I need you, and I was sure I could help. Come, I will show you.
With a sudden, bustling energy that spoke a renewed determination, Odyssey led them from the chamber and past the sec guard who fell into their rear. Christie looked uneasily over her shoulder. Whatever it was Odyssey needed them both for, it set alarm bells ringing in her mind. But no more so than Doc's attitude. It was as though, when faced with the evidence of pre-dark times, something seemed to snap in his mind once more. Odyssey set a fast pace. At each sector, he spun the colored stones to free the combination lock with a practiced ease and speed. Christie tried to see over his shoulder so that she could crack the code, but each time it seemed as though Doc was deliberately blocking her. Whatever their intended fate, it was delayed when a tall, muscular man came through a sector from the opposite direction, followed by two nightcrawlers.
Xerxes, what is it? You should be at the vessel.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I wouldn't do it except in the direst circumstances. Word has just reached me.
The man stopped, looking questioningly at Doc and Christie.
You can speak freely. They're going nowhere.
Very well. A force of warriors has left Memphis, headed in this direction. I have sent nightcrawlers out to block their path.
Then the matter is settled. Their people are no match for ours.
Perhaps. The other outlanders are with them. They are an unknown quantity to a large degree, but the one thing I do know is that they are strong warriors. I think we should take measures.
You may be correct. I concur.
Odyssey turned to the Sekhmen with him.
Take these two back to my chamber until I can deal with them.
Without another word, he turned back and left Doc and Christie at the mercy of the Sekhmen. Their hand blasters and blades were poised, and the two companions were left with no option but to go with them, while Odyssey strode away with Xerxes and the crawlers. As the war party passed the old building painted in the red and white colors of Memphis, Ryan noted that it was empty.
All the buildings are empty. I pulled all my men back within the walls after the discovery of your comrade's abduction last night. As soon as it became apparent that we had spies within our midst, I felt it was incumbent upon me to ensure that all personnel were within the boundaries of the wall to prevent any further leaks of information. I am sure that there was no way in which news of our operation could have leaked out.
Good. It was the right thing to do.
The war party was on its way out of the old suburbs surrounding Memphis, passing those buildings that were dotted around the ruined city and that formed the ring of outer sentry posts, once populated by two-man sentry teams. It was eerily quiet as they passed, the area now deserted of all life. Mark had made the right decision. They would need every break they could get if this was going to work, and to get as far as the maze before having to enter into a firefight was a good idea. The party was 16 strong. Ryan, Jack, JB, and Mildred were each in command of a group of three Memphisec. These included Mark, Lemure, and Cyan, and Affinity, who had volunteered before Mark even had a chance to ask him. The Memphis leader and his wife had readily agreed to follow orders, as had Sec leader Mark, as they deferred to the companions' superior combat skills. As they split into groups, Jack and Mark were in the defensive cluster that had Lemure and Cyan. The sec chief had been insistent that he stay with his leader, and Ryan had agreed, knowing the sec chief to be the best Memphis fighter. For a similar reason, he had detailed Jack to head the cluster. Mildred was in a cluster that included Affinity.
I confess, I feel like turning and running back to the safety of my own bed.
Sweetie, you wouldn't be human if you didn't feel your guts churning. And you know that if we don't do this, then that bed isn't ever going to be safe.
Of course, you're right.
Ryan looked up at the early morning sun as it sparkled through the canopy of foliage above. It was going to be a clear morning. The more light that penetrated the canopy, the easier it would be to see any crawlers if they were out there. The companions set a fast pace, the Memphis sec assisting them in direction. To negotiate their environs and keep the other parties in sight was easier in daylight, but still difficult at times as the tangled limbs, roots, and trunks of the stunted trees drove them in opposite directions.